give me water to drink. It comes up three times in our readings today. Three different people say this, give me water to drink. People of Israel, in our Old Testament reading, give me water to drink. Samaritan woman comes to Jesus, the living water, says, give me water to drink. And then this one, wearied at the well in Sychar, who's the living water, he says, give me water to drink. It's not because, just because people are physically thirsty. We realize that people are saying, give me water to drink, because they're suffering and they're in need of some hope. They need a God who can fix it, because they're in a desperate situation and they need a God who will come and deliver them. Like the people of Israel in Exodus 17. They just were delivered from Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm through the 10 plagues. They come through the Red Sea and they begin their wandering around in the wilderness, and lo and behold, nothing to drink. Their thirst is parched. They're starving, thirsty for water. And you could imagine their endurance was beginning to wax and wane a bit. You need water to stay endured, to have full endurance, and they have no water. Their endurance is going downhill, and so is their character. They're starting to grumble and complain and murmur. All these things are wrapped up together. So they cry out to Moses, why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Give us water to drink. They desperately needed a God who would fix it. They needed a God who would put an end to their suffering, a God who would fill this gaping hole in their stomachs and in their throats, and they knew that the Lord would be the only one who can provide. And so they cry out to Moses, if you don't give us water to drink, we are going to die of thirst. Give me water to drink. Because the Lord's the only one who could provide. He's the only one who can quench their thirst. And so he does. He says to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile. Ah, you've used this before with water. Except then it separated the waters. We don't want that to happen again. We want waters to come. Behold, I'll stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you'll strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people will drink. And so Moses did, and so the Lord did, and the people's hopes were fulfilled. Their thirst was quenched, their despair was lifted, and the people of Israel once again had hope that God would provide, because he does. He always does. Well, this woman in Samaria, Samaritan woman, you could say, just like the people of Israel, she was beginning to lose hope. She's suffering, and she needs a God who will come and fix it, to put an end to her suffering. She had a checkered past, involving not one or two husbands, but five, that had left a gaping hole, not in her stomach or in her throat like the people of Israel, but gaping holes all over her heart. She was suffering. She had lost hope, dried up. And so when Jesus offers living water, she says, where do you get this living water? Give me water. Give me this water to drink. Because she desperately needed God to act. She desperately needs the Lord to provide, to put an end to her suffering, to fix it. Because her problem's not just physical thirst, you see. No, she had scars that you couldn't see. She had wounds inflicted that no gauze could heal. That kind that makes a woman feel betrayed and all alone and rejected. She had gaping holes in her heart, and she was hopeless. And it's as if she cries out, if you don't give me this water to drink, Lord, I'm going to die. Give me, sir, give me this water to drink. because she knows that the Lord is the only one who can provide. He's the only one. And he does. He says to her, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And her thirst was quenched. Her despairs lifted. And she again had hope. You know she did, because she runs back to her town in Samaria and she tells the whole village about Jesus, a man who told me all that I ever did. And many believed in the Lord because of her testimony. They come to Jesus later on in the chapter and they say, because of this woman, we believe. But now that we've seen you, we know that you're the Savior of the world. Give me this water to drink. There's another person who says these words. It's you and me. Give me water to drink. Because just like Israel and just like this woman in Samaria, we are journeying in a foreign land. And at times it can feel like life's a little dried up. Things feel a little hopeless. And we say, could use some water to drink, Lord. Some of you have dealt with death or a loved one's dying. And you're lonely, and you're scared about what will happen. You're fearful for them. You're afraid to be alone. And so you cry out, give me water to drink. Or you can't find peace in this chaotic world. Thousands of thoughts race through your mind at night. You toss to and fro. It's so hard to be still. You can't ever find that peace. And you cry out, give me water to drink, Lord. Or you've been rejected far too many times, and the pain of rejection is still there. You don't feel like you're good enough for him. You don't feel like you're good enough for her. You don't feel like you're good enough for anyone. And you're so critical of yourself, and you judge the things that you do. You never seem to quite measure up, you know? And so you cry out, give me water to drink, Lord. Or the mistakes of the past still haunt you today. How could I have been so foolish, so stupid? Why did I say that to them or do that? Give me water to drink, Lord. We're thirsty people in a dry land. Our throats are parched. Even our tear ducts can be dried up. You cry all the tears out that you have. And our lives can feel dry and desperate and dark. And we cry out, give me this living water to drink. Well, the only one who can quench our thirst is that one sitting at the well, wearied from his journey in a town called Sychar. He is the living water, him alone. The one who thirsted for your sake, who says, give me water to drink. The one who from the cross says, I thirst. The one who pours out everything he has so that you could have everlasting life. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. I will pour out water on thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing upon your descendants, and they will spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I'm the Lord's, and another will call on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand, the Lord's. We find our hope in Jesus alone. He's the only one that can fix it, to put an end to our suffering. His suffering on the cross, his death, his resurrection, his lifeblood is the foundation of all of our hope. Who else can fix what is broken? Who else knows our suffering? Who else can quench our thirst except him alone? This one wearied at the well in Sychar, this one who gave up his life on the cross so that you could have the full forgiveness of all of your sins, this one who was raised from the dead to give you hope and everlasting life for all who have died, this one who died for us even while we were still sinners, in him, in Jesus alone, we find a hope that gushes over all of our suffering. In him, in Jesus alone, we find forgiveness that washes over every single one of our sins. In him, in Jesus alone, we find resurrection that floods over our grave and the death of all people. In him, in Jesus alone, we find peace that streams forth over all our despair and confusion. In him alone, in Jesus, we have a hope that's eternal. It's unfading, imperishable, undefiled, kept in heaven for you. The Lord knows you're thirsty. He knows your pain. He knows the crosses that you bear, and he knows your suffering. But he says to you, rejoice. Rejoice in your suffering, knowing that your suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts, filling all these gaping holes through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us richly in his Son, Jesus. All the hope that we ever need is found in Jesus, in him alone. You could run to 1,000 different wells, find water from rocks that only relieve us temporarily, give us the quick fix. But blood that flows from his side, it heals us eternally. It gives us a hope that can weather any storm. So come and drink without price. He is the living water, poured out his blood for you. So come and drink. Take and drink the blood of Christ, poured out for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who desires take the water of life without price. It's free. And you will find the love of God and the hope of your Savior and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit again. Amen.